Number one, and we're going to read a few verses there. And I know I preached out of Luke chapter 1 last Sunday morning, and we're going to pick up where we left off last Sunday. We're going to read starting in verse number 39, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And so Luke chapter number 1. And verse number 39. The Bible said, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, I'm thankful to be here today and for all the blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray and I ask that you would take the message today and use it to speak to our hearts and help us, Lord, that we might look in thy word, that our hearts might be stirred for the real, true meaning of Christmas and what it means to us and what it means to the whole wide world. I pray that you'd help us as we look into the Word of God this morning. I pray for liberty. I pray for freedom of thought. I pray most of all that the power of the Holy Spirit of God would speak to our hearts, change us for the better, for thy good and for thy glory. Lord, we have many objects of prayer that are on our hearts and minds today, and we pray and mention those one more time as well. I thank you once again for all of your blessings, and we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's go back just a little bit. I'll give just a little bit of introduction here. Luke chapter number 1, if you go back to verse number 11, this is where the angel appeared to Zacharias. And Zacharias is the father of John the Baptist. And we read over there about Mary going to visit Elizabeth. Elizabeth is the mother of John the Baptist. And so if we go back in chapter number 1 and verse number 11, the Bible said, "And there appeared unto him," that's Zacharias, "an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." And so the angel comes and gives Zechariah the good news that they're going to have a baby boy, and his name is going to be named John. And then last week we preached out of verses 26 through verse number 38, and that's where the angel Gabriel came to Mary, and he had a message for her. The Bible said, if you look in verse number 30, what Gabriel said, the angel Gabriel said to Mary, the Bible said, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." And I've never really even noticed this before, but in studying last week, and then I came back to this same chapter this week and was studying and looking at some other things, and never really noticed this before, but there sure is a lot of baby talk in Luke chapter number 1. I mean, somebody's going to have a baby and somebody else is going to have a baby. First of all, we learn that John is going to be born. John the Baptist is going to be born. And then, right after that, we learn that from the angel Gabriel to Mary that Jesus is going to be born. And so we thought about this, that since the very beginning of time, generally speaking, when somebody has news that a child is going to be born, it's regarded as good news. That's good news. That's news that people can't wait to tell. That they found out that they're going to have a baby. And we had even that last Sunday morning. Brother Stephen stood up and announced to the church that they were expecting a child. So that's a time of good news. That's what I want to try to preach on this morning. I want to try to preach on the subject of good news. You know, the first gospel message centered around the good news that a baby was going to be born. And what I mean by that, and I mentioned this last week as well, Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, the first messianic prophecy in the Bible. The Lord told Adam and Eve, "And I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And so the promise of a Messiah centered around her seed. Her seed in the Bible is talking about, it's a promise that a woman is going to give birth to a child. That's where the Messiah would come from. A woman is going to give birth to the Messiah. And you read on in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 5. Adam and Eve had a son. Now, Cain and Abel, that's already happened, and Cain slew Abel, and probably most everybody knows about that, but Adam and Eve had other children besides Cain and Abel. And Genesis chapter 5 tells us that they had another son, and they had another son, and they named him Seth. The name Seth means a substitute. And I believe from that Adam and Eve had taken God at His word that a deliverer would be born through a woman, and they thought in their minds this could be what God was talking about. God had just told them that there would come a deliverer, there would come a Messiah through her seed. And so the next child they had, or the next man child they had, boy, they named him Seth, a substitute. And so you think about the nation of Israel. For thousands and thousands of years, among all the children of Israel, among all the Jewish people, whenever a birth announcement was made, that baby, that family could entertain the possibility that this child might be the one. I mean, if they believed what God said, they believed that through their seed, the Messiah would come. And they didn't know when that was going to take place, but you talk about good news, that's good news. You talk about the hope of every family, and I don't know how much maybe some of them thought about it, some of them didn't, but through every birth, there's a possibility this could be the Messiah. This little baby could be our deliverer. This little baby could be our redeemer. The one that God has promised and pictured for us. So when we're talking about even today, the announcement that a baby's going to be born, that's good news. And so I want us to think today about some good news. Verses 39, the verses we've already read today through verse number 45, this is some good news. In fact, we read here, this is such good news that Mary has got to tell somebody. And she goes and she tells Elizabeth. So let's notice some things about good news today. First of all, let me say this, good news will travel. Good news will travel. Look here in verse number 39, what the Bible says. Now, keeping in mind, if you were here last Sunday, you remember this. The angel Gabriel has just told Mary that she's going to have a son, and his name is going to be Jesus. And so verse 39 says, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Now, I've got this underlined in my Bible. The Bible says that she arose in those days. She went with haste. She arose and she went with haste. She was in a hurry. She wanted to get somewhere where she could share the good news that had been told unto her. You see, there's some news that you can just wait till you see somebody. It's not that urgent. You know that you'll eventually cross paths and you'll share that news with them. You know, there's some news that we have and we say, well, at the next family reunion, I'm going to be sure and tell so-and-so about this. Or there's some news that we might say, well, I'm going to see them next week at a birthday party and I'll be sure and tell them about this. I'll tell them next week at work. I'll tell them after Christmas. Such and such news. There's some news that can wait. There's some news that, well, it can just sort of make its way through the grapevine. Whatever the grapevine is. You know, it'll get around. It'll get told. I'm not going to emphasize this. I know bad news travels too. But good news really ought to travel. And some, you can just sort of wait for it to get through the grapevine. You know, it's not that important, really. And you don't go out of your way to share it or go anywhere or make any special effort to go and tell somebody. But the gospel news, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was made to travel with haste. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is so important that it was designed by God, that it is so important we're not just to leave it up to the grapevine. We're not just to leave it up to, well, sometime out there in the future when I see somebody, I'll make a point to tell them about. But the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ is so important. It was made to travel and it was made to be shared person to person to person. And so Mary, the first thing she does upon finding out that she's going to have a little baby and his name is going to be Jesus, and it's a miraculous birth because she's a virgin, she's never been with a man, and the Holy Ghost of God is going to accomplish this thing in her. She arises, she goes with haste, and she goes into the house of Elizabeth. And I thought about this as I was saying about good news is made to travel, that there is no other news in all the world that has caused more travel than the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just think about that a little bit this morning. Think about all the missionaries that have traveled and gone all over the world with the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've done more traveling on behalf of their king than all the ambassadors of all the worldly kings and presidents that's ever existed down through the history of time. People, men and women and families have gone and gone and gone with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's traveling news. It's worth all the effort, and it takes effort to travel. Think about all the evangelists that have gone. Think about all the mission trips that people have gone on. Maybe they're not a missionary. Maybe they're not a preacher. Maybe they're just somebody and they have a desire to go and tell the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And they'll get funds together. They'll go on a mission trip. Think of all the soul winners that have went just to share the gospel of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about some missionaries I've known down through the years and what a example they've been to me. I know most of you know that a few years ago I went with Brother Dwayne Whittemore and we went to Alaska with missionary Ronnie Starr. And Ronnie Starr had a desire to go to the Arctic Circle and go to every village in the Arctic Circle and to give them a Bible and a presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it took him something like 30 years to accomplish that goal that God put in his heart. And every summer they'd get a mission team together and they would fly into the Arctic Circle, and he had all these villages mapped out, and they would go to one and they'd go throughout the whole village, give everybody in the village a Bible, give them a tract, give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. 30 years of labor and work. Travel. Is that really worth that? I'll tell you, when we was up there, there's 25 or 30 people got saved. I say that's worth every dime. That's worth every penny that was spent to go and travel there and give somebody the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember being up there in the Arctic Circle, and they got to talking about where we were. You know, I didn't really think a whole lot about it before we went. But I got up there and spent the first night up there, and I was laying there in the bed, and the sun was shining outside. It stayed in the summertime, stays daylight all day long. So you got to black out your shutters and try to convince your body that it's nighttime. And I was laying there and I couldn't sleep. And I got this, you know, sometimes when you get a long ways from home, you get that lonely feeling. Homesickness is real, by the way. And I just got to thinking to myself, I'm a long ways from home. Long ways from home. Is that worth all that? To take the gospel, it is. I know one time we went over to Antioch, and they were having revival over there, I think it was. And some of you remember missionary P.B. Zugs? He's in this country for years, and he was supported here in a lot of area churches. And when we went went over there, he was an old man then. I mean, probably up in his 80s. He had traveled for years and years to the Middle East and went to Egypt and all those countries over there and preached and got churches established. And I mean, he's traveled thousands and thousands and thousands of miles. And when we saw him, his wife had already passed away. He was still carrying on. All by himself. He had a little Toyota camper. Remember those things? I don't even know if they make him anymore. And that's how he traveled around. And so like most places we go to church, we're one of the last ones to leave. And we pulled out on the road there, heading home, and we got right behind Brother Zugs. And he was all over the road. And it was nighttime and dark, and he was traveling, and Kim and I driving behind him in that camper. Boy, I'm telling you, from that point on, we tried to really pray for Brother Zugs. And we talked about that a whole lot. Can you imagine this old man out here all by himself in a little old camper riding all over the country? Why would anybody do that? So we have the best news in the whole wide world. And if we don't travel, and if we don't take the news to the world, then nobody else is going to. Good news is worth traveling. I've read all these stories, all these old-time preachers, and I'm talking about right here in this church. We have benefited down through the years from men that have sacrificed, left their family, got on the back of a horse, walked across the mountains just to travel to a community so that they can hear the gospel preached on a Sunday morning during a revival revival week, preachers running all over these mountains wearing cars out, traveling on roads that were treacherous and dangerous and all these things. Why all that effort, preacher? Because good news ought to travel. Good news ought to travel. That's worth all the expense. That's worth all the time. That's worth, I've heard them talk about, my grandpa Cornett. And he pastored several churches at one time. One from his house in Bethel, he pastored up in Virginia, Roberts Chapel. And then he also, at the same time, he pastored down on the globe, Johns River. You talk about two hard trips. One Sunday he'd be at one place. One Sunday he'd be at another place. And a lot of times we'd go up to Mamaw's for Sunday. And Papa, he wouldn't get in for a long time. And, you know, we always like to see Papa come. He'd
sometimes give us a quarter. He always had peppermint stick candy and all this good stuff. And man, we like to see Papa come. Where's he at? Oh, he might not be here for a while. He'd been off preaching, been off traveling, went home with somebody, come home. And I've thought a whole lot about that. If you think your Sunday's hard, our Sundays are easy. Why all the effort? Why all the expense? Why all the traveling? Why the buying the gas and buying the tires and all of this stuff? Because we got the best news that ever was. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. You remember that? And he saw the Lord in all of his holiness and the angels flying around the throne, and all the ever-dumbest cried, "Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord." And Isaiah looked upon the Lord and he saw that he was a man of unclean lips. But the Lord had a question on that day. And the Lord said, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me." You know, you can't even spell gospel without spelling go. Say, "Preacher, what are we supposed to do in this day and time? What is the mission of our church?" Our church, our mission as Christians, as Bible-believing people, is to go and to go and to send until the trump sounds. And then our going will be over. But until then, it'd be good for us to follow the example that Mary set. When she first heard the good news, she arose, she went with haste. She had to tell somebody. Good news will travel. God's still asking. People are still going. That's a blessing. That's what we're supposed to do. Good news will travel. Number two this morning, good news will be told. Now, she didn't just go, but she went with a purpose in mind. And the Bible said in verse 39, let's read these verses again. The Bible said, "And when Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah," there's the traveling. Verse 40, "and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." Good news ought to be told. Good news will be told. Now, I want you to notice this in your Bible, that Mary didn't even tell it yet. She just saluted Elizabeth. That means this: when it says that she just saluted Elizabeth, when she entered into the house and she said, "Elizabeth, it's Mary." And look what happened in verse 41. "It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." Say, "Preacher, what's that mean?" Do you know, when the Holy Ghost of God brings the message, sometimes you get the message before you ever get the message. Does that make sense to you? When the Holy Ghost of God delivered the great message of salvation to my heart, the old man of God stood and preached the gospel, I got the message before he ever got done with the message. Because God spoke to my heart. And I believe old Elizabeth got the message before she ever got the message. The Bible said she was filled with the Holy Ghost, and the babe leaped in her womb. I tell you, I get a blessing out of that. You see, she knew something was up. Elizabeth knew that these were very special times, and Elizabeth knew that there was some way that she was involved in all of this. Look back in chapter 1. Let me point out what I'm talking about. See, she's already 5 months with child. Elizabeth is. Zacharias had been away serving the Lord as a priest in the temple. That's where the angel of the Lord came and told Zacharias that Elizabeth was going to conceive and that she was going to have a boy and his name was going to be John. So Zacharias comes home and tells Elizabeth this. Zacharias, what did the angel say? Tell me again. Don't you think that would be the way it is? Tell me again. What did the angel tell you there? Look back in chapter 1. Look at verse number 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And then in verse 17, this is a quotation of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, which is a prophecy of the Messiah. And he, talking about John, he shall go before him. Who is him? I've got that highlighted in my Bible. Elizabeth said, Zacharias, tell me again. What did that angel tell you? Honey, right here it is. Isaiah wrote about it. He, our son, shall go before him. Honey, that's talking about the Messiah. Honey, you know what that means? Elizabeth, dear, you know what that means? That means the Messiah is either here or he's going to be here real soon. He shall go before him. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Honey, you know what this means? All that God has promised and told us down through the years is getting ready to come to pass. The Messiah is coming, and our son's going to have something to do with that. He's going to be very involved. But I got studying about this, and let me show you something. Elizabeth had been hiding her condition. Did you know that? If you look back in chapter number 1, Elizabeth, here's how we say it. Look at verse number 24. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. You know what couples say now when they know they're going to have a baby, but they haven't told anybody yet, but they tell you and they say, now don't tell anybody. We're not telling it yet. And Elizabeth and Zacharias, 5 months, hid herself. Now, those of you that have had children, you know how hard that is not to tell. Now, you want to tell somebody. If you're going to have a baby, you want to tell. You want to tell your family. You want to tell your friends. You want to share it with your church family. But she had hid this good news for 5 months. But the angel of the Lord told her secret. Told it to Mary. I preached on that last week. And I didn't notice this last week, but the angel told on her. Gabriel told on her. Look down at verse number 36. What the Bible said. Gabriel said, And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. That has more meaning to me this week than it did last week. The angel told her secret that she had been hiding now for 5 months. Have you ever known something that the other person didn't know that you knew? That's how Mary was. Mary knew something that Elizabeth didn't know that she knew. But Mary made a special trip. Now, I'm not sure exactly how far it was, but it's a pretty good long ways. Mary makes a special visit. Why does she? She wants to visit Elizabeth. She's got two real good reasons. Mary's got some news that she wants to share, and Mary's got something she wants to talk about with Elizabeth. Elizabeth, her cousin, is going to have a baby. And Mary, far as I know, Mary and Zacharias is the only ones that knows. And so now I think I realize why. That when Mary entered in and all she did was saluted Elizabeth. I don't know exactly how it was, but I think maybe she knocked on the door. Elizabeth! It's Mary! And the Holy Ghost of God showed Elizabeth. And the Bible said, she's been hiding this thing for 5 months. Here's what I can't comprehend, and I'm talking about my own self. As good as our news is, why don't we tell it more than we do? And Elizabeth had not told this thing for 5 months. She's more than halfway there. She's got her big clothes out, wearing them in town. When she heard Mary come in, she's probably like a bottle of soda that you shake it up and take the top off. She's been holding this in. And the Bible said that she was filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Bible says that the babe leaped in her womb. Now John's special. The Bible said in verse 15 that about John that he would be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. We've got the best news that ever was. And it ought to be told. It deserves to be told. It's not bad news. So many people look at it like it's bad news. Hey, folks, listen, it's not bad news for you. It's good news. And it ought to be told. It ought to be told with joy, just like that Mary told and Elizabeth told. Good news ought to travel. Good news ought to be told. Number three, and last of all this morning, let me point this out. Good news will transform. Good news will transform you. It'll change you. Now look at verse number 42, what the Bible said. And she, talking about Elizabeth, spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. That's where John became a Baptist preacher, by the way. I know some people wouldn't like me saying that, but he wasn't John the Methodist. He was John the Baptist. And when he heard about the Messiah, when his mama was filled with the Holy Ghost, John said, "Woohoo!" That wasn't just no normal baby kick. That's a Holy Ghost baby kick. Man, this is great news. This is wonderful news we're talking about. Verse 45, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now I notice this, good news will transform you. She who was hid, she's hid this thing for 5 months. But now the Bible says in verse 42, she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou. It changed her. It transformed her. She's not hiding the good news. Her news or Mary's news anymore. I thought about this. The good news transformed an old barren couple into fruitfulness. The good news transformed an old barren couple into fruitfulness. Look back in chapter 1. Look at verse number 5. What the Bible said. Chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. Here's what they said in Judah. Poor old Zacharias and Elizabeth. They've never had no children. They're good people. I wonder why God never blessed them with children. They're good folks. I just love them. Zacharias, boy, he's a good old man. And Elizabeth, I'll tell you, she'd do anything in the world for you. I don't know anybody that walks any closer to God than they do. That's what it said in verse number 6. In verse number 7, you know, I don't know why they never had no children, but it's too late now. They're both old and well stricken in years. Now, I got studying about that. There's only one other couple that I found in the Bible that it says that they were old and well stricken in years. And it's Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. I'd say they're not going to be picking out anything at JCPenney anytime soon. Out of the nursery section. No baby showers for them. If they've not had any children by now, well, they ain't never going to have no children because they're both old and well stricken in years. Look at verse number 18. Even Zacharias understood what the angel was saying. Verse 18, the Bible said, "And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man." Now I read two or three things that said that Zacharias was 90 and Elizabeth was 89. But the Bible doesn't say that. But the Bible says they were old and well stricken in years. And Zacharias said to the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife well stricken in years." But look at verse number 44. "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." The good news transformed an old barren couple into a woman now, well stricken in years. And she said, "When I heard your voice, my little baby jumped in the womb for joy." See, that's why the angel told Mary, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." That's impossible to you and I. We cannot imagine that in our day and time. But with God, nothing is impossible. Have you ever seen a missionary family come through? And we have a lot of missionaries throughout the year. And usually, or a lot of times, when I have a missionary, I've never met them before. I've just talked to them on the phone. And this happened in this past year is what made me think about this. I had talked with a certain missionary, talked to him on the phone. From the man's voice in my mind, I thought probably my age, probably younger. And he wanted to come by the church and scheduled a time, and he came, and we came to church on that Sunday, and I walked through the door and I met the missionary, and the first thing I thought to myself, man, he's old to be doing this. I mean, at a point in life where most people would be thinking about, well, I can't do that. I can't go here. I'm too old. I can't get around. You know, but here's a man, and to just physically feast eyes on him, you'd say, are you going to really do that? The good news will transform those that are barren into being fruitful. And in the way God works, age has nothing to do with it. In fact, it was all the more miraculous that Elizabeth was going to have a baby. Don't ever think, here's what I'm saying this morning, don't ever think as long as God gives us breath that God cannot take us and make us fruitful. It might be being fruitful in the nursing home. It might be fruitful being not what we might think, but don't ever think that God gets somebody somewhere and says, all right, I'll set them on the shelf. They're too old. God didn't set Zacharias and Elizabeth on the shelf. God used them greatly in their old age to be fruitfulness. And isn't that the wonderful thing about serving the Lord? I mean, there's a lot of things in this life you can get too old for. You just can't anymore. But being fruitful, there's no age limit. There's only a prerequisite. What made all the difference in the world? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how God uses people. I mentioned Brother Ronnie Starr. And shortly after they fulfilled what God had laid on his heart, different things happened, his health and his flying license. I mean, that door, once they did all that God told them to do, it's like God shut that door. They left Alaska, they come back. We got letters from them all the time. We were down here in Arizona and won this person to the Lord at a gas station. We had an opportunity to go out and spend some time on an Indian reservation and won so many people to the Lord. I mean, just because they wasn't doing what they were doing when they were younger didn't mean God stopped using them. That's what I'm saying this morning. The good news will transform us. It transformed an old barren couple into fruitfulness. The gospel transforms young people. Look at Mary. If the Lord will let me tonight, I'm going to go on down in this scripture and I'm going to preach on what Mary said to Elizabeth. You talk about being transformed. God worked in Mary's heart. How the good news transforms even children and babies. This amazes me what the Bible says in verse 41. It said, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Say, preacher, what does that mean? It means what it says. Verse 15 means what it says. And he, talking about John, shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. They have scientifically proven that babies can hear in the womb. And so mothers will read to their baby while it's in the womb. They will play classical music to their baby. And I've read all kinds of things. They start nurturing their baby while the baby's even in the womb. It hears. I've had this happen more than one time. Somebody in the church will have a baby. And they'll bring that baby to church the first time or first few times. And mama notices that when I preach, that baby sort of, I've heard that before. That's what that baby's saying. Time to take a nap. I've heard that voice before. That's like lullaby to my ears. And some of you are the same way. That's why it says that when Elizabeth heard the salutation, that the babe leaped for joy in her womb. You say, preacher, you really believe that? I really believe that. The good news will transform even little children. The Bible talks about out of the mouth of babes. I've seen God use little children that wasn't even saved. I've seen little children get a burden for lost people and pray. You ever see that and scratch your head and wonder about that? Well, they're not even saved and don't understand, but they want so much for their grandpa to be saved. Sister Jennifer testified about the fourth graders at school, that they all got together and they all decided that they, in their part in the Christmas program at school, they wanted to give the real meaning of Christmas, and they just got together and done that all by themselves. You think the Lord can't use that? I read about J. Hudson Taylor. He's one of the greatest modern missionaries of modern time. Went to China when nobody was going to China. And I've read a couple of times the story of his young life. And when he was just a little boy, it talked about that he would go to a church with his parents and family, and what a great part he took in revival services. And he went and he witnessed to people. And he invited them. He would go to people during the service and say, "You need to be saved." And they were amazed at him. He wasn't even saved yet. But he wanted to see people saved. You don't think God cannot speak to these little children while they're little? And that is one of the reasons why, you know, we can do anything we want to. We could have nursery. We could haul them all out of here. You would never hear another baby cry or holler out during service. But they're just as important as you are. And you think they're not paying attention? They're paying attention. A mama come to me one time and she said, and her little girl probably wasn't 3 years old, 2 or 3 years old. And I seen them just, the girl now's up in her 20s, got children of her own. But that mama came to me one time after church and she said, "Let me tell you this." She said, "My daughter came to me and she said, 'Mama, I want to be a little bitty baby again.'" And her mama got to talking to her and she said, "What do you mean you want to be a little bit? Why do you want to be a little bitty baby again?" She said, "I want to be a little baby again." She was on to her and on to her. "What are you talking about? Why are you saying that?" She said, "Because the preacher said I need to be born again." The good news transforms us. I got saved when I was 9 years old, but I'd heard the gospel a lot. I thank the Lord that I got saved when I did, and that I heard the gospel all those times, and one day God spoke to my heart. The good news transforms us. It changes us. It makes us completely different from what we were before. Boy, I tell you, don't you know that was a shock in Elizabeth's life? Oh my, what am I going to do now? Zacharias, he's an old man. I bet he took up golf. I'm too old. I'm too old for this baby in the house. Well, I tell you, they's different. They's different. The message of Christmas, and I'm closing with this, it's good news. It's good news. Now you let it get drowned out by all this other stuff and you'll be like the Scrooge. I'll tell you, when you get right down to it, it's good news. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I'm going to ask the ladies to come and Brother Dale to get us a song.